we speak. Aha. Uh-huh. And we'll let that go on for
money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song side by side. Don't know what's coming to tomorrow.
Aloha. Welcome to Makai Watch, a program about the aina, those things that feed us. We provide information and opportunities for community involvement in the stewardship of our resources on Kauai. Makai, toward the ocean, as all things flow to the sea, and the sea is connected to you and me. My name is Maka'ala, and I'd like to thank KKCR for providing this program, and Laura Christine, maybe, for engineering it for us today. Well, she'll get better, folks, I promise. The issue that we're apologizing for is that the one transmitter, the one that operates 91.9, is in need of attention, and the crews are on the way. So if you're listening to this show either online or at 90.9 or on cable, please let your friends know to join us online, or they can check the KKCR.org website and pull the program up on Friday in the archives. We are going to rest the calls for a little while because we have a couple of people holding on the phone lines. So we're not ignoring you. Our lines are going to be busy for a little while we get this first subject underway. Please remember that this program and all the others on this station are funded by you, our listeners here on Kauai, in Hawaii or across the ocean on a land far, far away. Please show your support and join our membership today. The number to call Bombay later on is 826-7771. Today we're talking about two subjects that actually are connected in many ways. They might not seem so, but they are. First, we're going to talk about the master plan being developed for Haena State Park. We have Alan Carpenter, an archaeologist and now assistant administrator for state parks, on the line, and also Chipper Wickman, who is CEO of the National Tropical Botanical Gardens and Kama'aina of Haena. We have Keli'i Alapai of Hui Maka'aina na Omakana in the studio with me, and joining them is Carl Imperato, a Hanalei resident who's been very active in the Citizens Advisory Committee. So first, can we go to Alan? Alan, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, Maka'ala. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm so glad the phone lines work. It's a good thing when things work the way we planned. First of all, Alan, I'd like you to just let us know a little bit about the master plan process. When did it start, and when will it finish?
Okay, well, it's almost embarrassing to say so, but the current Haena master planning effort began in about 2007 or 2008. The good news is we're hoping to have it completed by the end of this year. So yes, it's been a long time coming, and in fact it builds upon the foundation of an even earlier failed effort going back nearly two decades. So I've been involved in several capacities throughout that process, you know, first as an archaeologist and for a brief time as a parks planner, now as a assistant administrator, but we're still very committed to getting a solid plan in place for Haena, where we have a myriad of issues and crushing numbers of people and vehicles impacting the resources. So yes, it's been a long time in the making, but it's desperately needed and long overdue.
Yes, and I want to give a shout out to the consultants, to the professional planners that have been, at least in this iteration, in this part of the plan. Would you just let us know who they are?
Sure. So we hired PBR Consulting. They're our hired planning consultant. They've been involved with us throughout the entire process. Of course, ultimately, the State Parks Division is responsible for the plan. But this whole process has been a collaborative effort from the beginning. As part of the planning process, a master plan advisory committee was formed. So there's of over 30 members, which include cultural practitioners, families with ties to Haena, government and community agencies, some businesses and other stakeholders. So over these years, through multiple meetings and discussions, we collectively came up with the master plan as currently proposed.
Okay, great. So trying to be as inclusionary as possible, and I know that, you know, sometimes that completes the process and sometimes it actually opens up more pukas for concerns and conversations. People think of things they hadn't thought about before. When do we expect the final recommendations to be published?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, these processes can bring up additional issues. And we had such a thing, you know, where we thought we were close to the end of the process. We were on the final home stretch, or so we believed, late last year. We held a public meeting to present the summary of the plan and the draft EIS to implement that plan. That meeting in Hanalei was attended by over 300 people. It was somewhat contentious, to say the least. I think the root of the issue was really about the lack of time for people to digest and comment on the plan, which admittedly is very, very complex. It addresses a myriad of management issues in addition to proposed improvements. So despite our comprehensive work with stakeholders throughout that master planning process, many felt they had little to no say in that process. Through that meeting, we did actually gather a tremendous amount of feedback, both positive and negative. And in particular, you know, there was a contingent of folks, mostly of a younger generation, who were not involved in the planning process. I mean, since the process took so long, I mean, some of them were literally, you know, in school when the process began. So, but they're finding their voice now, and you know, want to take part in the building of their community. So after that meeting, we took stock, and we acknowledged that one public forum was probably not sufficient for the community to gain understanding and provide input. So we put a temporary pause to the EIS process, allowing for more public outreach and consultation. The Master Plan Advisory Committee that had advised us through that process was actually reformed into a Community Advisory Committee. Several members of that younger generation were invited to participate as members, and this current iteration of the CAC, which has a lot of overlap with the Master Plan Advisory Committee, is intended to provide guidance to parks throughout the implementation of the plan.
Okay, great.
So over about the last 6 months, that group set about refamiliarizing themselves and bringing new members up to speed on the plan details, suggesting changes to improve it. We realized that there were still improvements that could be made, and some of those improvements were suggested by folks who attended that meeting back in late 2015. So in addition to that, they formed a new outreach strategy, and the CAC now sits poised to begin this outreach, and state parks, as the main player, we intend to host a large open house type of informational forum in July or August that we hope will be more interactive and informative to the attendees.
Great. I think I'm going to jump around a little bit. Chipper, are you there?
I am. Aloha, Makaala.
Aloha, Chipper. Mahalo for calling in. You are once again very far from home, right?
Happen to be in Chicago today, but I'll never miss a chance to talk about our Haina area there and how we can best take care of it.
Thank goodness for modern technology. I wanted to just bring you into it at this point because you've been involved with this development of this plan for longer than neither you nor I want to acknowledge, probably. But how long do you think that's been that we've been talking about the master plan for this park?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm afraid it's pretty close to 30 years, which is pretty scary to say. As Alan said, the previous iteration's been back a couple of decades before this one, and we've been at this one now 7 or 8 years. So it's longer. It's kind of sad, but, you know, at least we're getting to the point where we finally have a plan that will begin to help take care of that very special sacred area.
For those of our listeners that are listening in from other parts of the world, I want to let you know that this is about Haena State Park. It's at the very end of the road on Kauai. If you visit Kauai, the highway does not go all the way around the island because we have a place called Napali, which is very steep cliffs and does not have a road. So this is literally the end of the road. And it's been a state park since the 60s, and it's a precious place, but it's also extremely popular. So when you look up your visitor information queries online or with your travel agent, this is one of the places that you'll have a suggestion to go see because it's quite extraordinary. But Chipper, you live out there. You have lived out there all your life. As a resident of that area, what do you think are the most important issues with the park as it exists right now?
You know, by far, Makala, the most important issue we have to deal with is the reduction in the number of people that use the park. And because the park is also the gateway to the Nepali coast and also a destination, as you said, it's the end of the road, it is extremely popular, and we're seeing upwards of 2,000 to 3,000 people a day going through that park, either to the Nepali or to the beach, and it is just way, way, way beyond the capacity of the park. So, in my opinion, the most important issue we have to deal with is how do we effectively reduce the number of users of the park, and at the same time, don't eliminate access for our locals, because the fear is that as we reduce numbers, the overwhelming pressure from the visitors to come there is going to force the locals right out of the park. And in fact, to be honest, for a couple of decades now, most of us have been forced out of the park just because it is so packed with visitors every day.
Yeah, that's exactly why we asked. Kali'i Alapa is in the studio with me, and that's the reason we brought him in, because he's representing an organization we call Hui Maka'aina na O Makana, and they have a wonderful relationship with state parks. They've established a curatorship agreement. They're doing a lot of restorative work out there, restoring the taro patches, the lo'i, taking care of some of the vegetation that's completely out of control, and trying to bring back the living history of that place. Kali'i, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. Aloha Chipa, Alan, how are you folks doing?
Good.
Aloha, brother.
All right.
Talk a little bit about your involvement with the park and what you guys have been doing with the park.
Well, for us, it's been a long stretch down the road. And, you know, it's all about taking care of the place and try to bring it back as we remember it. And that, for me, is so important, because we have the younger generations coming up. The way it's going now, will we have a place for them mm-hmm. to go to, mm-hmm. to use, to remember what was going on in that area?
Is this a place that you used to go as a kid?
Young kid.
Yeah.
Ran around there barefoot. We had the cattle and all that stuff running loose. I mean, it was free country, you know. You roam. No slippers. But that's the old days, you know. That's
very different days. Picture from today.
Very, very. And to bring it back how it was, it's a beautiful picture to see. And you know, for us at Hui Maka'ainana, we need more people to see that vision that we see. We get in the help. We want to do something. And we need to do something. So, you know, again, from Mauka to Makai, it's a very sacred place, you know.
One of the things that Hui Maka'aina na O Makana does, for those of you who are on Kauai, or those of you who might be visiting Kauai, is that they have regular work days. Now, don't get us wrong. These are work days. This isn't come and, you know, make Hollywood kind. These are work days. And they do a big potluck lunch, and they talk about their plans, and they talk about the place, and they make available this place again for the families that came from there. And I should let you know that membership of Hui Maka'aina na O Makana, which the name means the people of that place, the people of Makana. Makana is the iconic mountain, which if you're not here or from here, in all of your tourist books, they often describe it as Bali High, because it was an imitation of the mountain Bali High in the movie South Pacific. It just played the role, folks. It had nothing to do with another island. It's really on Kauai. But there are opportunities for people to go out there and to participate and to contribute to the restoration effort. But you folks have established a really good relationship with state parks, and you're participating in this master plan process, correct?
Yes, yes, very much. Again, you know, we've worked our way up to be good stewards with the state, and we cannot say anything better than Alan and the gang working with us, you know. And again, it's to get the trust, you know. You're going to do something, you're going to do them right with your heart and soul, you
sure.
know.
Sure. What do you see are the problems in the park now? Chipper's talking about just too many people.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, so what are we going to wait for? We want more people to, every year it's going to change the numbers, you know, capacity-wise too, you know. So are we going to sit on the side and oppose everything, or are we going to do something about it? I'm from this place. I don't want to see this place get ruined. I'm going to do something about it. And whoever wants to know what's going on down there and want to be a part of it, come join us.
Yeah.
Come join. Don't stay on the side and make noise. Come down and do something about it. Come get dirty too.
That's a great invitation. We'll all be there. Oh. And bring something for potluck. So Alan, you're talking about the next steps will be an open house, and Chipper, you're talking about how you've been involved, you know, since the beginning, and I sense the frustration of how much time has passed and how hard people have worked, but I'm thinking there was also a real advantage to taking this pause, taking this break, and taking a closer look or a little different look at the plan as it was proposed. Chipper, to speak a little bit to some of the specific changes in the plan that you think have happened in this pause.
Hey, okay, mahalo, Makala. You know, you're right, I'm frustrated, but at the same time, often things are there for a purpose, and this pause has given us a chance to really re-engage. We have a new administrator for state parks, Kurt Cottrell, and Kurt and Alan and the leadership there have really, really embraced our community's involvement, and they have committed to community-based adaptive management of the park and allowing the community to be part of the process in deciding, you know, some of the level of infrastructure and some of the solutions, management solutions. It's a very, very complex set of problems. And over time, we're going to try things. Some will work, some won't work. And having the community actively involved is critical. And one of the really, really good examples in taking this pause and really reexamining the plan, we were able to come up with a much, much better access plan that will ensure that locals do not get squeezed out in the process of reducing the numbers from the 2,000 to 3,000 people a day down to 900. So that's a very, very significant reduction. And in that process, we developed a method to be able to have locals have a dedicated parking area, and we're creating a plan that will help facilitate the shuttle service, because there's just too many cars in Haena. We're able to address the spillover to affect Makua and all the other resident areas where people live in Haena, and not just having the sides of the roads clogged with visitor vehicles every day. So it's been fantastic. We also, you know, master plans are long-range planning tools, and as such, they tend to include a lot of things that may never, ever be developed. And I think that really scared the community. They felt like, you know, the next year we're going to go out and the state's going to turn around and build all this infrastructure. So this gave us a chance to really look at what do we really need and what are the level of facilities that the state's comfortable with committing to at this early stage. And so a lot of misinformation was being circulated early on that there was going to be a massive visitor center and a gift shop and a this and a that. When in fact, all that the initial first phase was really interested in was a welcoming pavilion, and the state's open to that, even being a traditional halau or hale type of building, if the community wants to be involved and help create that and maintain it. So, you know, that's a huge difference than a big footprint of a building there. A lot of misunderstanding around the importance of protecting the aina and the rockfall hazard and protecting the people that come down there. So I think we've worked really hard to get our members of our community, and we're going to continue to work on this with small group meetings and of course the open house, so that people can understand that having 900 people a day walking through the park is going to compact the soil and damage the soil structure. It's going to create problems. We need to create a safe way through that, and so some kind of an improved trail system that will protect the aina from the foot traffic of all those people is a very, very important element of the plan. And where it's located is something that the community has a very prominent say in, because it's currently going right through the lo'i area that we in the Hui have restored and developed since the late 90s. So lots of really important things, but probably most significant is the access plan we developed that will ensure locals access, and the fact that the facilities have been scaled back and are really at a much more comfortable level.
That's a good review. Thank you. Carlin Pravado provided a very, very important service to this process, in that he went through all of the comments that were provided at the large meeting that Alan talked about, where 300 people came, and he copied all of the comments, he categorized them all as to their subject matter, and he summarized them. Carl, I think that Chipper talked a little bit about some of the main concerns, but I want folks to hear from you, because you did that work. The main concerns that people shared and how this next phase of the plan is attempting to address some of those, and if there's any that we haven't said yet.
You know, there were a lot of positive comments, but there were a lot of very negative comments and concerns, and they fell into a number of categories. Some people didn't want to see any daily limits imposed on the park, increase the park capacity, increase the size of the parking lots. Some people said, well, we should limit parking for tourists, but not for residents. Some people wrote that we should limit the number of tourists, but not limit the number of residents. Others were concerned that if we did do any limits at the park, that there would be spillover into a county park, Makua, Lumahai, other areas. And some people were concerned about the number of facilities, and others said the plan was incomplete. So those are the major categories of comments, and I think a lot of the people who made those comments maybe didn't have the full picture of what's been happening here. Kili'i and Chipper have alluded to some of them, but you know, there's a number of hard facts. You know, if we do nothing, things are going to get worse. They're going to get a lot worse. There's a projected increase in tourism on the island in the next 20 years of 35%. That's not stoppable. We can't do anything, because that's based on all of the hotels and tourist facilities that were approved by the Planning Commission and county government from 2000 to 2007. These people who want to build these hotels, they have their rights. There's no stopping that. And so we see this big surge of tourism coming in. And to put it into perspective, in the 1990s, maybe on the peak months of August, there were 1,000 visitors a day in a state park. By 2011, it was more than 2,000 a day. And if we do nothing by 2035, it'll be pushing 3,000 a day. So something has to be done, and that's a hard fact. A hard fact as well is that we can't just say we're going to deal with this by stopping the number of cars that go there, because we all know that the way the world works now is, if you limit parking and say if people come in by shuttle, in this world of Uber and all other sorts of sharing services, people will rent cars to tourists, people will drive tourists, the people will be there. So that's a hard fact we have to deal with. We have to control entry to the park, and that means there has to be a gate at the park. That's a hard fact we unfortunately have to deal with. And the last hard fact we have to deal with is that we can have some special rules for state residents, but only to a limited extent. You can't have too much discrimination between state and out-of-state visitors to the park. That's a hard fact we have to deal with. And so, based on all of that, the Community Advisory Committee worked pretty hard, and I'm proud to be working alongside Kaylee E. and Chipper and Alan and those who came up with very creative solutions, which I think address those hard facts and really are going to result in improved rather than a decrease in access for the local residents. Some of the important concepts there are that there'll be, well, first of all, the state allows for two categories of park users, state residents, who are called non-fee-paying users, and then out-of-state residents, which are fee-paying users. And so one of the things that will be done is to take the parking area that's proposed and to break it up into one parking area for the fee-paying users and the other for the non-fee-paying users, which are the local residents, the state residents. And the size of those two parking lots will be adaptively managed so that we think that in most situations there'll be adequate parking for the residents who want to drive in and use the park. That's a lot better than it is today, where people just turn around or they don't even go because the parking situation is so bad. There will be controlled access under the plan, as Chipper and Kaylee had mentioned, you know, to about 900 people a day. But that will only be during the daytime hours, from 5:30 in the evening to 7:30 in the morning, access to the park just like it's always been. And during the daytime hours, as I've said, people who are local residents want to drive in. They get to drive in, show their Hawaii ID, and they use the parking lot. Out-of-state residents have to basically, because they are non-fee-paying users, will have to get a permit online, and there'll be a limited number of those permits, and there'll be a limited number of permits for the part of the parking lot that the out-of-state people can use, and that will be used to basically control things and bring the number of people who use the park down to a manageable number. So there's very few restrictions that we're talking about. Yes, there are going to be some days maybe where the resident parking lot might be full, or there's going to be times during the day when residents who want to walk in and bike in cannot get a permit. But those are going to be, we believe, the exception. And certainly when you compare that to the way the days are right now, and you compare them to the way the days will be 20 years from now with a 35% increase in tourism, it's much, much better.
So one of the first things that people are going to see when this whole process is POW is at least the existing parking lot will be improved. Hui Maka'aina Noa Makana has been working with the state on that project. And for those of you who live on Kauai and love to go to the end of the road and love to visit Haena State Park, that's the challenge. The challenge is that the existing park itself is full of boulders and uneven ground and is in it doesn't provide for orderly parking. The other so that's probably going to be the first thing people will see. And then I know that the committee has been talking about this word of the gate word and trying to make it look and be a friendly thing and not a big black gate with a big black lock. We're trying to make it be an entrance, a welcoming entrance of aloha to the place, and not a fearful thing. So this is part of my theme, my 2016 theme of facts, not fears. The facts are that we have many ways that we can control the numbers to this place. Alan, are we missing anything that you're aware of here as we move forward? You're planning on this meeting, this open house, and I'm assuming you'll have a lot of these items that we've been discussing out so people can look at them and review them. And I guess I'm looking for other opportunities for people to participate in the process before then and after then.
Sure. Well, of course, the plan remains and has been available online through the State Parks website. You can get access to it. So people have not been commenting on it, even though we would continue to take comments. I believe we've heard, most of the good ideas and most of the criticisms. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of new things that would come out of it, but we certainly want people to be familiar with what the plan says and hopefully come out to the meetings and learn about the subtle but pretty important changes we've made to it since it was published.
Give us that website, please, Alan.
It's, hold on, I should.
Sure it is.
Website.
That's why you didn't say it in the first place. I should have had it.
DLNR.hawaii.gov/DSP.
DLNR.hawaii.gov/HSP?
DSP.
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 Okay, good.
Division of State Parks.
Oh, okay.
And then if you go,
then you
have to
drill down a little bit to get to Haena. Okay.
Correct.
And Chipper, when you participated in this process and you hear the concerns that people have, I know you share them. I know it's not that you think this is all going to be hunky dory, but one of the key words that I'm hearing you say and others is that this is going to be adaptive. That may not be intuitive to people, but you do that at Limahuli Gardens.
Yes. So adaptive management is really critical, because no matter how much we invest in planning, nobody has a perfect crystal ball that can predict the future. And when you're dealing with a dynamic sacred site like Haena is, and you know, we have one of the most sacred, if not the most sacred site for hula practitioners, Ke Ahualaka and Ka'ulu Apo'o there. How do you manage? We believe we have a plan that's going to allow for cultural practitioners to have great access and accommodate them, but we don't know. We need to be able to adapt the plan as we go through the process, and we reduce numbers and we put up the gate and we ensure that people are safe as they're walking through there, and we ensure that we can accommodate the practitioners. We may need to adapt it, and the same thing for fishermen that want to come down into that area. How do they continue to get access? How do they interface for the volunteers that want to work with the Hui Makai Nano Makana or other aspects for volunteering in the park? There's a lot of variables. Even how do visitors get their permits online, and how do we manage the number of permits? That's going to be a very dynamic process that's going to be adapted, because you're going to have a lot of creative people that are going to try and figure out how they can, you know, take advantage of the system. You may have people that go online and buy 200 permits and then hawk them, you know, like they do concert tickets. So we've got to be able to continue to evolve and adapt. And adaptive management is critical, but the equally, I want to emphasize, equally important is that the community remain engaged and part of that adaptive management process. And the Hui has built a very, very close relationship with state parks, not over months, but over, you know, decades of taking care of the park and restoring the park and investing our sweat equity in that process. We've proven to the state the value of community, and that we're not there for the money. We're there to Malama Aina. So it's an iterative process that's going to go through cycle after cycle, and each time, if the community is involved, we will be able to fine tune it in ways that are what our community really wants to see.
Right, that's a good summarization, Kelly. Chomping at the bit.
Very well said. Very well said, Chip.
And the Hui has been a part of the process, but they've also given up some stuff. You know, in order to move people safely and efficiently, they're actually probably going to close down at least part of Alo'i and part of where the taro grows, part of the work that they've invested out there in order to make safe passage and a path and a trail for people to come through. And their restoration site there is open. It's not closed. So all the visitors that go there now, many wander down through their work and their project, and they stop what they're doing and explain the history of the place. And that's a big part of it. That's interpretation of who's there. These are the people of the place. I think in the future, it's an extraordinary opportunity for almost like a living history location. I want to wind this up because I have another guest, and I'm wanting to offer each of you one little parting thought and any contact information that folks may want, although I think the best one is the dlnr.hawaii.gov/D, as in dog, SP. Alan, you want to say any last little bit?
Sure. Actually, I think I'd like to share with your listeners that I think you can see through just the voices on this program today how fortunate State Parks is to have such engaged and valuable partners as we envision a better future for Haena State Park. So I just wanted to thank Chipper and Carl, Kaylee, and of course yourself, Maka'ala, for all that you guys do to help us move forward on this project.
That's an important effort. Chipper, parting thought?
Yeah, I just really hope the listeners will take advantage of the open house, because, you know, you can look at a plan online, and this is a thick plan, and it's really easy to just, your eyes get glazed over. But come to the open house, stand on the aina, see where the rockfall hazard is, see where we want to put the trail, you know, get a feel, because when you're there, you're standing on that aina. I mean, you know, can help but feel the mana of that place, and we have a responsibility. To do nothing is not an option. And when you're down there and you see the intense traffic and what's going on, you can't help but say, we've got to do something to malama this place. So come to the open house. If nothing else, come put your feet on the aina, take your slippers off, bro, feel the mud between your toes, and join us in this effort. Aloha.
Aloha, mahalo. Kili'i, he's just grinning. He's saying, yeah, come get in the mud with us, bro.
Plenty mud to come down and get in. But, yeah, Chipa, and Alan, and like we all say, yeah, you know, the hale is there. Come down. Come down with an open mind and come feel the place. Bring your good mana down to join us too, you know. Yeah, that place is so special. And again, whoever wants to be a part of this can be a part of this.
That's right.
And when it happens, you were one of these that did it, and you're going to be proud. So keep that in mind, people.
That's great.
And, yeah,
that's the perfect one. You're going to be happy you did. Carl, parting thought?
Yeah, I think we need to make clear that the Community Advisory Committee has put together a real comprehensive plan, and we only talked about some of the elements here, and I'm not sure that you're going to see very much of it on the website at this point. We were going to roll that out at these community meetings, and so people should look at what's already there with an open mind, but recognize that there's so much work that's been done, and they need to come and hear the details, ask questions about the details, so they can see that all the local people who've been involved have come up with some really good ideas to ensure that local people have access to the park in the future, and that we have a much better protected park. And lastly, as you can hear, you know, State Parks has been very responsive to what the community has been asking for. They're to be really applauded for that. But then by saying that the community has the ability to do certain things, we're also saying that the community has a responsibility to do things. So I want to say that people do need to be engaged to make sure that as time goes by, we do implement everything properly.
Mm. I can't thank you all enough, and we can certainly do this again. I'm believing that KKCR will offer us time, either this show or other shows, if we're if we think we need to do that. But I'm asking folks here and those that visit here to stay tuned in and aware of how this plan progresses, and mahalo all of you for coming in. And please, folks, get the facts, go visit the place, ask the questions. Let's do this right. We can do it right together. Mahalo. I'm going to take a
mahalo
short break.
Mahalo to you, Maka'ala.
Aloha.
Yep.
Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha.
About the rain and the waterfalls, silent pools, lahala trees, bamboo standing tall. And if you listen carefully, standing over me. How many stories can you tell?
Sit and listen to that song forever. That was written by Carlos Andrade about Limahuli. So the stream that feeds that site we were just talking about in Haena State Park is Limahuli. Turning hands. It's an amazing place. And Limahuli Gardens and Preserve is a special place for those who want to see the native sites, native grounds, native plants of Hawaiʻi, and we're also always welcoming people out there. They actually have a regular free day for local families as well. Before we get to our next guest, I want to be sure that folks know that the Expand Papahānau Moku Akea talk story sessions with Northwest Hawaiian Islands Native Hawaiian Cultural Working Group members is occurring today, 11 to 2 at Kikiola Boat Harbor, 3:30 to 4:30 at Kapa'a Boat Harbor, 5 p.m. till Pau at the Kapa'a Library, 6 p.m. the presentation begins. And again on Tuesday, tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Na Wili Wili Harbor. If you need more information about those events, please contact Hoku at 990-8101. That's an 808 number, 808-990-8101. Again, these are talk story sessions about the Northwest Hawaiian Islands with the Native Hawaiian Cultural Working Group, who is talking about the expansion of Papahānau Moku Akea. So, shifting gears. I want to welcome our next guest, who is a friend of mine, George Thompson. He's kind of an unexpected friend. I didn't meet him in a context of any of the work that he does, actually, except as it was related to the places that he worked. And then he and I ended up serving together briefly on the Hawaiian Island Humpback Quail National Marine Sanctuary Advisory Council, and got to know each other, and as you do when you attend meetings away from home, established a really nice, positive relationship. We're good friends now. And I've asked George to come in because I'm aware of some conversations that folks have been having in social media and also just in the community about George's boss and the product that they sell, the product that they produce. And I want George to tell you a little bit about himself and how he got here. And welcome, George. Tell me how you
Thank
got
you.
To. You're welcome. How'd you get to Kauai?
Oh, that is a very long story.
Oh,
I've been here like 35 years, and it is way beyond anything that we could cover in this amount of time.
Okay. Well, you've been here for a while.
A long time. My kids were born and raised here, and I'm married to a very lovely lady that works for the state of Hawaii in vocational rehabilitation, and I love Kauai and love Hawaii. It's just an amazing place.
Oh, well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And I'm actually glad that you're affiliated with this product, because you've opened a line of communication and a way for us to talk about this product. And the product, folks, I'm not trying to make this a secret, but just, I guess I should just say it. It's the Ultimate Kauai Guidebook. It's the blue book, and in many conversations, it's the blue book we love.
Yes,
to hate.
It is.
So how'd you get involved with these guys?
Well, I was asked to do some work for them a few years ago, and I came in and talked to them about some stuff, and we worked together, and I really enjoy the book. It's an amazing product. And just to let you guys know, so everybody's kind of on the same page, my company is Wizard Publication, and we actually produce the Hawaii Revealed series of guidebooks. So there is one guide for each of the islands, one for Kauai, Maui, Oahu, and the Big Island.
And they're not all blue.
Yes, they are. They actually look very, blue. Very similar. But the only one that's called the Blue Book is the Ultimate Kauai Guidebook, which is the one we started off from the very beginning. And it's been in production for well over 20 years, and it's an amazing product. So I was asked to take over the job of public relations a little over 2.5 years ago, and I've been actively involved in trying to create more communications with people out in all the island communities to get some concerns and let them know what we're doing, and also help to educate what we do and do not do.
So when folks say it's that darn blue book that
yes.
gets the people to this place, it's that darn blue book. You're not a mystery. You're not hiding. You're
no.
right there. And I know you would. Let's start at the very top and say they can get a hold of you. How?
Well, my email address is george@hawaiirevealed.com. And they can contact me there anytime they want. They can also contact us through our company's website, which is www.hawaiirevealed.com. And they'll get in touch with me anytime, anyplace. And I'm available anytime, anyplace.
And that's one thing I want to say for sure during this short segment with you is that, A, thanks for coming, and B, that we can do this anytime. We can do this again and again, and sometimes we could do it focused on specific concerns or issues if people want to get
Absolutely.
Hold of you, and we can address specific things. But you know some of the ones that people are concerned about.
Yeah, so there's a lot of information that is out about what we do and how we do it. I find that a lot of my job is actually educating people on what we do, what we say, and how we say it. The two biggest concerns that people have are safety, that they say that we are not concerned with safety of our visitors, and we actually are very concerned with the safety of our visitors. In fact, we work closely with all of the ocean safety guys around the island chains. We've worked with Monty Downs, who said I could say hello. He is absolutely an incredible person. If you're not familiar, Monty Downs is the emergency room doctor who is also a very big advocate of ocean safety, and he has helped us out a lot. He's also looked at our reviews of the different beaches and what we do and how we do it, and he's given us advice, and he's also given us some very high grades on the reviews that we do. So we're very proud of that.
So the Blue Book does change?
Oh, it changes constantly.
Because you were laughing at me when you first came in the studio, because I have what he says is an antique edition.
Yes, we're going to put that on eBay.
But that fits. This is the one I actually have, and it's a 7th edition. What edition are you in now?
You would ask me
Sorry.
That question, huh?
Okay, it's way more than 7.
I think it's 9th right now,
wow.
And then we'll be in process constantly.
I think the issue is they don't look much different.
They
know?
Don't. The book remains the same, but it is updated constantly, and that's been kind of one of the issues that we've had from the get-go. Information in the book changes. What is accessible today or what is public property today, inevitably, the moment that we release a copy of the book, it becomes private property or inaccessible. And then we have to find ways to get to the community to let them know that this is not a place they could go. So I recently did a presentation at the Prevention of Drowning Conference last year, and I'll be doing another one this year. And I told all the lifeguards, I said, so if you see somebody carrying the book that you're carrying, make sure they get a new edition because it doesn't have the right information.
So maybe you should make the new ones look different, like a great big huge 2016 on the front.
Well, we have such a large following, we don't want to lose.
Don't want to read this.
Right. But we do update it every 2 years approximately, and we're trying to do that faster and more efficiently. But it's been a big issue because that information
yeah.
does get old and stale. So one of the things that we did do that we've been working on and should be coming out at the end of the summer is we've developed a companion app that goes with the book. And this allows us to update the information that is in the book instantaneously, and it has some other really unbelievably cool features that we've worked on that a lot of the ocean safety guys have helped us with. One of them is the book or the app is geo-aware. So if we have somebody going to a location that is under high surf advisory or is closed because of some other issue, we can notify just those people, not everybody, but just people in that area.
So what's the app called?
It's going to be Hawaii Revealed.
Okay. And it's not quite ready yet?
It's in process right now. We just finished design. We're in development. We're hoping to beta test sometime at the end of summer. But I'm not going to give an actual date right now because we're not 100% sure, and we don't want people to expect it.
Of course not. Of course not. But in this day and age, I mean, I see people with this book and other guidebooks in their hands when they're waiting in the airport in Honolulu,
yes,
getting ready to get on the plane to come over here. But I'd love to see them using their phones and checking an app.
They actually do. We have an app out right now, but it is not as good as we would have liked it. So we made some changes to it to make it more user-friendly and more community-friendly.
Good, good. So is there, you want to tell us what that one is? Or?
That's, oh, the one right now is just the Kauai or Hawaii Revealed, and there's a couple of segments on it.
Okay.
But I say wait for the new app.
Okay.
That's what my philosophy is.
Fair enough.
And there's something that I wanted to talk to you about because I was listening to the earlier show. Yeah. And that's one of the areas that we want to make it, you know, make it known. We can help with some of this stuff. We reach a very large section of the visitor population. And we are all about education, honesty, and truth. We want our visitors to know what they need to know to have an awesome vacation and at the same time be respectful of the location that they're visiting. We want it to remain open. We don't want to close access. We don't want things to be shut down because we want everybody to enjoy what we have here. And our company as a whole, and especially the author, loves this place. I mean, literally just absolutely loves it. So if the community has concerns, or better yet, if they have things they would like to get out to the visiting public, let us know. We will do our best, either through the application, social media, or even putting it in the book, to get the information out to the visitors so that they know what they're expected to do, what they can do, and most importantly, what they should not do.
And so the connection to you is george@hawaiirevealed.com.
Yes.
And I know, you know, on this radio station and others, there's been, you know, conversations that say, I wish they wouldn't say, I wish they would say, I wish they whatever. So now they know how to say that. And to whom they should send that information, george@hawaiirevealed.com.
Right. And check, too, because a lot of times what happened, over and over again, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, this shouldn't be there, this is there, and we'll pull out the latest edition, and it's not. And because it is constantly being updated. So make sure that we aren't saying or we are saying something that you think we should not talk about. And then let us know. We're open to all suggestions anytime.
One of the things that I remember being concerned about years ago and with my kumu is some places that people really ought not to go. They shouldn't just go there. And my personal philosophy is not everybody gets to go every place. There are
right.
some places that simply should not be there and should not be available, and some places that that we should describe in a guidebook or in an app as a place that exists, that has a name, that has a purpose, but is for a very specific interest group or use, that it's
right.
not for them. It's there. Yes, it's there. We can't pretend it's not. Using its correct Hawaiian name and then saying things like, you know, but this is not the place for you. Or if you'd like to go there, there's a way for you to engage with local cultural specialists or cultural practitioners
right.
and get an invitation to go.
Well, most of the time we just don't put it in the book. The app gives us a lot more leeway because we can put directions, information, and things of that nature. The problem with the book is, once again, things change and alter. So if there's a place that we don't believe should be visited, then it just doesn't go in the book. And there are actually, and I won't mention them now because I don't want people to go visit them, but there are actually locations that the author has specifically left out of the book because of environmental issues, cultural issues, and safety issues. He's gone there, he's seen it, he knows it's there, but he's decided to move it out of the book.
Okay, so that's, thank you, George, and I want to make sure we do this again very, very, very soon, and maybe what I'll do is obtain a current edition.
I think I can get you that.
I think you can give me one. And I'll go through it and see if something pops up for me, and
absolutely.
I'll put something on my Facebook page and let folks know that that there's a way to make a difference, there's a way to make a change, and welcome home. He just got back from a wonderful trip in Alaska. So.
Amazing.
Yes, we're glad
to have
you back.
Thanks for having us.
Sure, sure. Welcome anytime. I want to be sure that folks know that this show is monthly, the second Monday of every month at noon right here at KKCR. Check us out. Stay tuned for One World Radio with our favorite and most knowledgeable DJ, Richard. Aloha.
Singing a song side by side. See that sun in the morning peeking over the hill. I'll bet you sure it always has and it always will. Well, that's how I feel about someone and somebody feels about me. We're sure in love.
Mahalo to Makahala and her great guest this week. It was a really interesting show. Got to say that. It happens every week here on KKC, or every month. She's on the second Mondays. And you are tuned to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Hali Eva. And it's now time for One World Radio. And, you know, One World Radio is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Pono Chiropractic, Anahola Stringed Instruments, Bill Fernandez, and Tiki Tacos.
The Pono Chiropractic Institute, located inside the Mahelona Medical Center in Kapa'a, is proud to support KKCR. Dr. Khalsa, with over 22 years of experience, delivers custom care designed specifically for you. PonoChiropractic.com, 353-1114.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored design and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Bill Fernandez, author of the recent book Hawaii in War and Peace, announces his latest book, a murder mystery set in Honolulu, 1920, Cult of Ku, a series of ritualistic murders of the elite in ancient settings, seems to lead to Grant Kingsley, whose ancestry is in doubt. Bill's legal career brings authenticity to the story as he weaves the clues into the complex history of the city. www.kawaiibillfernandez.com and on Facebook, Bill Fernandez, Hawaiian author.
Tiki Tacos, authentic Mexican food with a Hawaiian heart, located in Kapa'a, open from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. 7 days a week. Hawaiian, Latin American, Mexican, soul food, and vegetarian. Respect the taco. 823-8226. 823-TACO.
All right, and yes, well, hello to everybody who supports this great institution of KKCR. And we are working to get our power back on and everything, so it's it might be happening right now. Okay, before we start the program, I just want to make one comment about the news, and that is that, you know, people that harm other people are really angry at themselves. And they have an inner conflict that goes on within their head, and they just feel terrible. And they don't know why, and they're just out of their center. And it comes from they're not feeling connected. And that's everybody's connected. The universe is all connected. And when you don't feel that, you feel out. And then you start getting mad at yourself for doing that, and you want to hurt yourself, but you're a weak person, so you hurt other people. And that's what these people that hurt other people are, just weak, and they don't want, they actually want to hurt themselves. But the idea is, if you feel connected, you're not going to hurt another part of yourself. So that said, we're not going to talk more about it. This program is about being connected, though, and because we play music from all cultures, and, you know, half the show's in English, so you can understand about half the songs, and, you know, half you can't. But it doesn't matter if you can understand them or not, because, you know, it's all good. We're going to begin with something brand new. This is Siama. He's from the Congo. His CD is called Rivers, From the Congo to the Mississippi. And an interesting record, you know, with various musicians from different genres playing on it.